Welcome to this podcast from St. James Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This is a 25-minute edit of our Sunday morning communion service. For more information, please visit our website, www.stjamesleith.org.uk. God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. For this season of creation, to say together, God, our Creator, give us reverence for all creation and respect for every person, that we may mirror your likeness. Help us to love your world as you love it, to take risks to value it as Jesus did, and draw us into the wildness and wonder of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit.
This morning's reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 2 to 8. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and I create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation may spring up, and let it cause righteousness to sprout up also. I, the Lord, have created it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel reading is taken from Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20.
Glory to Christ, our Savior.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Give thanks to the Lord for his glorious gospel.
Praise to Christ our Lord.
Well, the first thing I suppose I could open with is this question: who do you think you are? Which can be quite a threatening question, and in our societies it's often used to undermine the authority of someone who's suspected of going beyond their remit. But it's possible to speak those same words more softly and in an encouraging way, and that's what I'd like to do, and say, who do you think you are? Or who do you think you are? Or who do you say you are? And maybe finally, who does God say you are, and who hears that, and how do they hear that? And maybe I said finally, but then as a PS, who do you think I am as environmental chaplain? It's a good word. People perk up and they think, "Oh, must be something good about that." Yesterday I was inducted as environmental chaplain as it were, for you. For 250 weeks with close to 450 churches. So yesterday was special, not just for me, but for the whole diverse movement that is Eco Congregation Scotland, which brings together churches that otherwise might not actually speak to each other. And yet we recognise our common context of climate crisis, the care of our common home, as the Pope puts it. One of the initiatives which had been most rewarding is promoting a regular annual season of creation time, for which materials are prepared and offered, but there's no big stick involved in this. In fact, I've departed from it today. In all that we offer, including the rather more demanding programs that go with the awards scheme, all this is to assist and encourage the growth of a committed and liberating faith in the communities that we're partnership with. And it makes it normal rather than marginal or exceptional for our faith to have a green tinge. Now, churches vary enormously, even within one denomination. Even within the Episcopal Church, as I've often discovered, the rituals and customs of churches for recognizing gifts and offices can be very helpful, just so long as they don't become an end in themselves. They help us with that question: who do you think you are? So after yesterday, for the next 5 years, if someone asks who I think I am, my identity, apart from being a minister and a father of two teenagers, will be the environmental chaplain. For the time being, I can say the, because there's only one of me. But part of the vision is that too can be a partnership and a movement. Chaplains, as you know, in many fields, are not all ordained ministers of any particular church. So my aspiration is to ditch the definite article. But we don't yet know what environmental chaplaincy will look like by the time I'm done, or indeed perhaps what it'll look like next week. What has this new identity done to me? Well, already it's a mixed experience because, as I said, without knowing any details at all, folk have said, wow, that's a good thing. And also, rather more challenging, they've said, oh, you're the right one for the job. But I'm right at the beginning of this journey. A job description is one thing, but what you make of it, well, we'll see. So what do you think people out in the street might say to themselves if they heard that a church is an eco-congregation? Tree-hugging Bible bashers, maybe? Or is it finally what the church really ought to have been anyway? You'll remember that even the name Christian was more or less an insult in its origins, but it was one that our global community of faith, when they were a marginal and persecuted group, picked up and ran with. Now, I looked around, I tried to find what St. James Leith looked like. Through whatever decision-making processes, if you're an eco-congregation, you've decided to join, it's heading for 450 congregations who've registered a public interest in letting the world see that your identity as a Christian worshipping community includes an aspiration to take special note in the expression of your life and work of the partnership of humanity with God and with fellow creatures in the enterprise of an inhabited rather than a bleak and lifeless earth. And I think as chaplain, the idea of aspiration rather than achievement is what I want to chuck into the pot. Last week, I did spend time learning about the awards scheme so that I can be aware of how those things can encourage congregations to develop their identity with the right sort of ambition and pride. Even if you look in Paul's letters, in about 22 instances, he talks about boasting. The right sort of boasting, however un-British that might seem. Eco-congregation is a movement that it's right to be proud of, while of course being well aware of what we aren't and what we haven't achieved. To be a church is always being a work in progress. God is always the God of today, and our particular today, without beating around the burning bush, is one of climate crisis. Not just change, but crisis. These are the signs of the times that Christ is urging us to be reading. And at our AGM, the guest speaker, Ross Greer, MSP, put us right on that. Not just climate change, but a raging juggernaut of a world which already knocked off balance through humanity playing God in an entirely wrong way, or perhaps playing the wrong sort of God. For some, this boils down to whether our purpose in creation is dominion or stewardship. I could actually ask you to move your head that way slightly, Steve, so I can get my feedback. There we are. Great.
Thank you.
Dominion or stewardship? Is it exploitation or nurture? Is it shepherding, as even the idea of kingship in ancient Israel was shepherding? And just so this doesn't sound too wishy-washy, shepherding involves leadership. And it also involves intervention. The alternative to total domination is not abdication of responsibility. It's not the denial of a special place for humankind. So dominion or stewardship is that question. We have given dominion a very good run for the money in the last couple of centuries, very literally for the money, to the exclusion of all else. And when mammon or money is the master, so Jesus says, he's pretty strict about you doing a bit for God on the side. There's also another aspect, and maybe a demanding and spiritual part of the work of any community that has the courage to aspire to identify as an eco-congregation, and this is something people haven't made very explicit, is a dimension of what I'd call palliative ministry, with which I myself became more closely familiar during the terminal illness of my late wife, in which raging pointlessly at the damage already done gets us nowhere, but with peace in our hearts and faith and determination together, we can look at how good things can be nonetheless. Environmental chaplaincy will also involve a bit of hallelujah anyway, as well as lament. There's something really valuable about any local church making the street or building that they share greener or more beautiful or more expressive of God's love for every creature. And it's lovely when you do come across things like insect hotels and other playful expressions of our sharing of that common home, not just with other human beings, but with all the others who are included in the rainbow covenant of Genesis 9. Now, when Kathy Galloway wrote an additional verse of the hymn you're going to sing today, actually, for my service yesterday, she said she was struggling with where we are today with a balance of blessing and threat. There's a lot of bad news around, but faithful people will be looking for hope and joy and justice, even though so much damage is already done. And so much is already in the pipeline heading our way, even if we get things right just tomorrow. Not just tomorrow, but this evening. That's where our faith comes in useful. Christianity is of most use in the midst of uncertainty. There's everything to play for globally. There is much, there may be more than we know, either good news as well as bad. Every morning, something terrifying comes into my inbox. I could deny it. I could be like the proverbial, but not zoologically accurate ostrich, hiding its head in the sand, refusing to look, slagging off and dismissing the totally overwhelming majority of climate scientists with their discipline of peer review. We have many more partners in this enterprise than we might imagine, not just in churches. Now, the reading from Isaiah, quite shockingly and radically, casts in the role of savior the Persian king, Cyrus, who, having conquered the conquerors of Israel, opened up a gentler way of servitude for the subject nations he'd inherited. And it's difficult perhaps for us to grasp what an open mind that vision required. What pride there is to swallow for the people who first heard it. What hands we may need to shake because we trust in God and God's call to partnership. Environmental chapter, well, I've read that bit. Even what it might cost us to rethink some of the best of our commitments in the recent past. I know some of our friends in an eco-congregation in Orkney have taken to task the shoddiness of some fair trade organisations because they put so much plastic and stuff in their packaging. And when last autumn I was facilitator at the UK Methodist Youth Assembly, it was a total avalanche of polystyrene containers and plastic cups. Mind you, they gave you a plastic bottle so that you wouldn't use any more plastic bottles. The solutions are sometimes ingenious. But there was outcry amongst the young people themselves at the things that had been prepared to help them have their celebration. This aspiration to integrity is a long road. It's got many twists and turns. We all have dirty hands, even when they're hands together in prayer. What can I do about this? Well, I could take refuge in a demand for 100% accurate and reliable statistics, but know in the back of my mind, you're not going to get that, ever. I could get frustrated that the diesel car that my wife bought a few years ago turns out not to be better for the environment after all. But what good would that do? I could despair and suggest that since we've got nothing to lose, we should take no notice of the threat to a world that will see us out. And unless anybody is planning to end their life today, the world will not see you out. There are things which are approaching us now. I could get worked up about who stands to gain from a wider acceptance of the climate crisis. Or, as the soppy old hymn naively but wisely advises, I could take it to the Lord in prayer. I could look to the resources of our faith to face and engage the reality of this day on this planet. For the good of all the earth, for justice, for peace, and by means of all these holy aspirations, to the glory of God the Creator, who weaves a golden thread of justice into all the beauty that God brings to birth. And for your good too. Amen.
Present our offerings to the Lord. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own we give you. Holy, 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 God of power and might.
Holy, 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 God of power and might.
The day that God has made, we will rejoice and be glad. We will not offer to God offerings that cost us nothing, to go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. We will seek peace and pursue it in the name of the Trinity of Love, one God, in perfect unity. Amen.